It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
All right, very good Thursday morning to you, Marlins Nation. Thanks for rewinding with us, Steven Strom here. Tough one for the Marlins. They fall to the Giants 3-1 and lose the series. As always, for the recap, here's your radio voice of the Miami Marlins, Kyle Seeloff.
Well, unfortunately, the Giants were just a little too much for the Marlins this afternoon. Giants take the series. They win 2 of 3, and they take the rubber match by a final score of 3-1 this afternoon. You're listening to the 10th Inning Show, brought to you by Warner Hoffman, Greg and Garcia, your trusted workers' compensation and personal injury lawyers. Gabby Sanchez back with me now. And Gabby, the Giants just a little bit too much. They got too late off the bullpen. That continues to unfortunately be an all-too-common theme for the Marlins this season. Didn't have enough offense today. Not a terribly played game, just didn't have enough offense. And again, the bullpen faltered just a little bit late.
Yeah, it faltered just a little bit late, but I feel like the pitching was there today. Whenever you allow only 3 runs, you give yourself a chance to win a ball game. Offense just really couldn't come together today like we have been seeing. It wasn't terribly bad. De La Cruz had himself a nice game. We saw some balls. Tim Anderson hit a really good one, got himself a base hit as well. It's just one of those things that it happens. You have to give credit to the Giants pitching staff who came out and pitched really well. Wynn looked really good. I mean, he threw the ball extremely well. He gets his actually first win of the season. Then they had Miller and Rogers, and then we saw Duvall there at the end, where once you give the ball to Duvall, it's not going to be easy to score runs off of him, let alone two. But it wasn't a bad game, and that's what we kind of keep looking with the Marlins. You look at the record, but they're in so many games. So it's not like
every game's been winnable.
Yeah, it's not like they're going out there and it's a blowout where you're like, man, this team is just – there's nothing you can do. It's unwatchable. No, it's a very watchable game. It's a very competitive game. You're going to win. You're going to lose.
Right.
But I feel like they – right now, the way that they're trending with the pitching staff starting to get on board, starting to do what they're doing, especially that starting rotation – it's kind of what we saw last season, where the pitching staff is what's going to keep you in the ballgame.
Right.
And when you get enough offense, you're going to win those games.
I totally agree with you, and we'll see if they can turn that tide a little bit in Chicago. They've actually had a lot of success at Wrigley Field over the years. The Marlins have won 109 games and lost 115, so basically 500 over the course of the franchise's history at Wrigley Field. So, well, you know, let me take that back. They're 52-63, but that's still a pretty good mark at Wrigley, 109 and 115 all-time against the Cubs. But, Gabby, I will see you on the bus shortly, the plane a little bit shortly after that, and at Wrigley Field tomorrow night for a 7:40 Eastern time first pitch against the Cubbies.
Maybe dinner tonight. I don't know if you're ready to go.
We'll see. I'll let you know. We'll see what they have downstairs and on the plane here shortly. That's Gabby Sanchez. I'm Kyle Seeloff. Highlights from this ball game this afternoon on this Wednesday matinee. Not a whole lot of offense to come by. Giants did just enough. It started early against Trevor Rogers with one on, one out, the top of the second inning, and Tyro Estrada at the dish. He's hitting .224 this season. And the right-handed hitting second baseman lashes one on the ground fair over the bag at third, rolling down the left field line into the corner. Soler's going to get the wave home. Gordon has to dig it out of the left field corner. He stumbled out there. He bobbled the baseball. That's an RBI double for Tyro Estrada. And the Giants strike first this afternoon. They lead 1-0 here in the second. It would stay that way for a long time. Trevor Rogers was very good today. 5 2/3 innings, a runs four hit. One run, four hits, no walks, 6 strikeouts. Declan Cronin took over and retired the final batter with a man on base, or two aboard, I should say, in the top of the sixth. So it was 1-0 San Francisco going to the bottom of the sixth inning. Keaton Wynn was still out there, nobody on and two out. He was facing Brian De La Cruz. Here comes the 2-1 pitch. And DLC hits it high in the air, deep to right field. Slater's going back out of the warning track. Wall, it's gone. It's out of here. De La Cruz has tied it at one here in the bottom of the sixth.
Oh, baby, De La Cruz comes up clutch again.
So the Marlins find a way to tie it there in the bottom of the sixth inning, but as soon as they would tie it, the San Francisco Giants would untie it with Nick Ahmed at the plate facing Declan Cronin with two aboard in the seventh. Or something to prevent the runner from third from scoring. The 3-2 pitch is hit, and that is a diving stop by Arise. Wow. He steps on the bag at second for one, and then he turns the double play. Wow. The run from third, that's Estrada. He scores, but Arise just prevented a single into center field by diving near the bag at second. I think the ball was in his glove, and he actually whacked the bag at second base. Then he stood up, and he turned the double play. No RBI for Ahmed. That's a big two outs for the Marlins. The bases are empty, and Fitzgerald is batting. It's 2-1.
What a play.
That could have been a much bigger inning for the Giants, but they only got the one run. Anthony Bender got the eighth, and things kind of turned on him with two outs and nobody on. Jung-Hoo Lee singled. Jorge Soler singled. Then the batter was Matt Chapman. The 3-1. He threw him a fastball, and he lines it down the right field line. Extra bases. It might play to pair. Lee will score. Soler will stop at third. It's an RBI double for Matt Chapman, and it's 3-1 San Francisco. And the Marlins would come up empty facing Tyler Rogers in the eighth. They had men at first and second with one out. Luis Arraez bounced into a 4-6-3 double play. Camilo Doval put the finishing touches on his third save of the season with a perfect bottom of the ninth. So for the Giants today, 3 runs, 9 hits, no errors, 7 men left on base. For the Marlins, 1 run, 6 hits, no errors, 3 men left on base. Win, that is Keaton Win, wins the ball game. He's 1-3 this season. Cronin, the loser, he's 0-2. He was recalled today. Doval, his third save of the year. Total time of game, 2 hours and 24 minutes, 8,179 in attendance. Marlins struck out 10 today, and that means that $250 will be donated to the AutoNation's Drive Pink Initiative to fight against cancer. For every strikeout this season, $25 will be donated to the Drive Pink Initiative.
All right, Kyle, thank you. Let's head down to listen to what Skip Schumacher had to say, get his reaction after the 3-1 loss to the Giants.
Solid outing from one of your starters. What'd you see specifically from Trevor here today?
Yeah, it's over 60% for strike, not 1 3-ball count. I thought his velocity was really good, using both sides of the plate. Thought Johnny did really good back there with him for his debut. I mean, they were working really well together. The conversations were great. Yeah, I mean, he did enough for us to win today. Another, you know, back-to-back, you know, really good outing for Trevor.
I know you didn't get a chance to see Trevor at the team last year, but how much have you seen him grown in the short amount of time that you have been pitching? He seems to be much more confident.
Yeah, he's a different pitcher than what I remember when we were facing him. I mean, he was like 97, 98, kind of a two-pitch guy. Now he's pitching, and, you know, he has more confidence in his other pitches and not just his fastball. Righties, lefties, the split change has been excellent for him. And, you know, the fastball command, the sinker with the angle in heater, has been a really good combination for him to keep guys off just the sinker. So, yeah, really impressed with him. He's growing as a pitcher, and, you know, he lets his defense play behind him. He's been excellent this year.
Despite the loss, you're encouraged just by what the starters have been able to do?
Definitely. This was a really good series for our starters. You know, started with Cabby, obviously. Excellent start by Ryan, and then, you know, Trevor did enough for us to win against a good lineup. I mean, they had really good right-left splits up and down the lineup. They were tough because, you know, they flip out immediately when you bring in somebody else. They have a really good right-handed lineup, a really good left-handed lineup. So what the guys did, credit to Mel and the pitching guys and the guys following the game plans, and the execution was really, really good.
And just the importance of the starters building off that after and the inconsistency of the first 3 turns. So see that after the series is trying to build on that, considering starting pitching is sort of what, like I said, the guys need that.
Yeah. No, you hope that this would turn, and the starting pitching has done that. I mean, they've done, like I said, enough to win. They've kept us in ball games. And, you know, Zeus is going to, you know, be back on track soon. And we'll see, you know, AJ, you know, hopefully he feels better tomorrow. But, you know, everyone has really turned the corner, in my opinion, and given us a shot to win. And that's all you can ask for. You know, guys are going 6 innings, striking out double digits. Today was 6 or 7. So, I mean, they've done an excellent job. Yeah, using the whole field. I mean, a guy today had a really good sinker split kind of slider combination. And instead of trying to beat it to the spot and beat it to the ground to third, he went the other way, line drive, and then an opposite field home run. I mean, when he's using the whole field, he's a really good and dangerous hitter. You see what he can do against righties and lefties. I'm having a tough time not putting him at the top of the order so he gets that extra at bat. He's done an excellent job so far this season.
I think in spring you even mentioned, you know, him and Sanchi came in, they looked different. And one of the things you mentioned about Dela was his ability to remember.
Yep.
Just how important is that for a hitter?
Yeah, I mean, it's he remembers his previous at-bats like last year, and then he remembers like the game planning is a big deal. That's like the separator at the big league level. It's not just talent. Everybody's got talent up here. It's the separators, the work, and then the preparation. And Dela has really grown last year and then obviously continued this year. We got to get Sanchez going, definitely. I know there was a run of lefties at the beginning, but you know, he's been taking some good at-bats lately as well. So those are the two guys that I thought would, you know, really take the next step. And you're seeing signs of Sanchez, definitely. Early on, the numbers didn't look right with Dela, but like I said before, like the underlying numbers suggested that he was going to be, you know, pretty good. You know, if he just keeps doing what he's doing, and you know, this series shows what he's all about.
So we didn't get a chance to ask you with the roster movement, sending Soriano down. What was your guys' message to him?
Yeah, we're going to need him eventually this season. This thing could be quick. The fastball command plus the slider. The slider characteristics just have never gotten right to where it was last year and even in spring training. So just figuring out the slider, because that's what is going to get all the righties out that we need him to do when he gets back up here. And I also think it's a confidence thing. You know, once you give it up a couple times and you're wondering if you can do it still, I know he can do it. Go down there, you know, pitch a couple scoreless, figure out the grip or the mechanics of your slider, get the fastball command better, and he shouldn't be down there too long.
Skip, we were noticing Jaz just kind of messing around with that shoulder. Is that shoulder still bothering him when he ran into the wall?
Or? Not that I know of. I mean, maybe at times with swings, but there hasn't been, like, you know, much treatment or anything like that for him. I'm sure he feels it on certain swings, but you know, he's been, you know, taking BP every day. He was out there just like everybody else, taking ground balls and throwing at 9 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was. So he's the guy's working. That's the thing about that's what's frustrating here is like everybody was out there taking ground balls, working at like 10 in the morning after a night game, a long night game, and you know, the coaches are scrambling trying to get this thing right. And that's what's it's difficult because these guys, you know, are fighting their tails off and working. It's just we're not seeing the wins, and that's what's, you know, the most frustrating.
Trevor Rogers was outstanding once again. 5 2/3, gave up 4 hits, 1 run, 6 punch outs. Let's hear what Rogers had to say after his outing.
Especially the second through the sixth, retired 11 straight. What was really going well during that stretch?
I think Pretty and I really had like a solid game plan, like constantly talking in between innings. Really just having that dialogue, hey, what do you want to do here? What do you want to start out with? And it was really good going deeper into the games. And I think really just having all 4 quadrants of the strike zone where I could go to, and Mel and I talked after the game, and he says, I think you're finally pitching out there. And I was like, it was kind of hard for me to hide my smile right there. So that's something I've been working for, not trying to just throw the ball but pitch the ball. So really just dominating all 4 quadrants of the strike zone with everything.
Can you go into a little bit more about what that means to you personally? You said trying to
hold back a smile. Yeah, it meant a lot. You know, that's something that I've always wanted to be is – I want to be able to pitch, and I think I've had to learn the hard way of, you know, constantly trying to get that velo, and really, like, kind of just gotten hurt in the past, like, literally gotten hurt and missing some time. So I think just learning that the hard way, and, like, hey, there's more ways to get outs in this league than just velo. And obviously, I'm not taking anything away from velo. Velo plays anywhere you go, but if you can find multiple ways of getting outs in the zone and going deeper into games, it's huge. And I think I'm finally starting to take that next step and really see some things.
How were you able to develop such a strong relationship with so quickly. This is a guy that you really haven't had a relationship with coming into tonight's game.
Yeah, I think this was the first time we actually talked and have a conversation today. But, you know, it's just you got to make him feel comfortable. And, you know, they called him up for a reason. They believed in him, and I believed in him. And just really once I saw that he was willing to have that dialogue in between innings and he was engaged and really like he wanted me to do well and I wanted him to do well, I think that kind of pushed things forward, I should say.
Back to the comment from Elwin, when you talked about the challenges of getting to this point, what was or were some of the biggest challenges you had to go through, and how gratifying is it to start seeing the other side?
It's a good question. I think not chasing velo and like looking up at the radar gun and like, oh, it's 93, it's 92, 94. I think in years past I would see that and I'm like, oh no, I'm not 96, I'm not 97. How am I going to get outs and kind of snowball from there? I think being 92, 94, I mean, it's still hard to hit. Margin for error is a little smaller, but it's still hard to hit. And I think really just developing my pitches better, and I can go to him anytime I want. I think the slider is getting better each and every day, and I'm gaining confidence with that. And I think it's huge. I mean, I'm just seeing a lot more things out there, and it's taken me a long time to see those things and really just take it pitch by pitch and knowing what I'm going to do out there.
You mentioned so mainly fastball and changeup. Where are you in terms of your arsenal now and your usage and how you want to use it?
Yeah, I think, I mean, fastball is always going to play. That's always going to be my bread and butter and pitch off that. And I think my two-seam has really opened up my fastball even more and even protecting it and my changeup as well. I think if I can just complement four-seams at the top, twos down below, and mixing in some changeups and then sliders if I'm feeling it.
Just see the rotation series, Cabbie, 6 innings, 10K, Weather, 6 innings, 10K. You won out of the way from 6 innings. Just seeing the rotation starting to find its groove, just the importance of that for this team as you guys try to get out of this hole from the start of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's huge for us. I think every single guy on this staff and in this rotation knows how important it is to go deep into ball games. And we're all competitive guys. We all want to get the ball and go 7, 8, 9 innings. Of course, 9 innings is the goal, but if we get into 6, 7, 8 innings consistently and give our bullpen a little breather, I mean, we're in a really good spot. We're throwing the ball really well right now.
All right, we're off to Chicago. It's the first of four. It's going to be a 7:40 first pitch, which means I've got Marlins on deck at 7:10. A.J. Puck expected to start. Remember, he's been battling some illness the last week, probably couple days. It's kind of gone around the clubhouse. So we'll see if A.J. Puck does start tonight against the Cubs. But again, it's the first of four, and then the Marlins are off to Atlanta for a three-game set. Again, Marlins on deck, 7:10, first pitch between the Marlins and the Cubs, 7:40 on the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.